Hello and welcome back to the Being Mindful show. I must apologize. Technical difficult. We always blame the equipment, not the person. We blame the technical equipment, not the technician. So technical difficulty, not difficulties, technical issue meant that the all critical switch the mic on button, Maxine, you're laughing, was not clicked. So we spent the first 15 minutes of the show literally just talking to ourselves in the studio. Well, so yes, everybody's just joining us today at this point. So we do want to say welcome. Welcome to Being Mindful, where we look at and discuss issues pertaining to our lives as Christian, our quality of lives. We've got a guest on the show next week. I just want to throw this in very quickly. Guest on the show next week who will be coming to discuss issues around mental health. It won't just be Maxine and me. But today we are talking about prophecy, the prophetic, to prophesy, what that means. I suppose because we're effectively starting at the beginning, let's look at, you know, what, and you know, we're hoping, I mean, we'll use the rest of our time to discuss this. What does it mean? What does that mean? What are those words? When I Googled it, I think prophet came up at 457 million entries. Prophecy and prophetic came up about 300 and something million entries on Google. And obviously, as you know, as we were saying, whilst the mics were switched off, you know, Google is the fount of all knowledge. But beyond the Google, can we just talk about what does it mean? Prophet, prophesy, prophecy. What are we talking about here, Maxine?
In a nutshell, it simply means God wants to speak to us. God wants to convey a message from himself to people, his people, who he created. It is about understanding, receiving the mind, the heart of God to the people. Jesus said in John chapter 12, forgive me, verse 49, "For I did not speak of my own accord, but the Father who sent me commanded me what to say and how to say it." We also have to understand that God is the one who wants us to be able to carry this, his words, be it a word, be it a picture, be it a dream, be it a vision, be it whatever. God wants to share what's on his heart and on his mind to us.
Now, is that, you know, when we talk about the prophecy and prophetic and prophesying, it's a little bit like, you know, the weather forecast. It's, you know, let me tell you what you don't know that's going to happen tomorrow. It's typically quite future based, quite stuff that hasn't happened yet. Is that all the prophetic?
No, it's not. Not at all. Okay. Not at all. You know, I think over the, 10, 15 years, maybe even longer, the emphasis has been about predicting what is to come. And if that be the case, then we are limiting God. We are restricting how God wants to speak to us. Why? Because God is interested in our past and in our present, not just our future. And his words to us is clear in that he says, let me read the scripture again. I have to go by, you know, what the word says. In 1 Corinthians 14, it says, "Follow after love." Some versions say charity. "And desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy." I'm going to jump down a little bit. And it says in verse 3 of the same chapter, "But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to do what? To edify, to exhort, and to comfort." When we come together, somebody may say, "Well, I dream a lot." That is God speaking. Somebody may say, "Oh, I have lots of visions." That is God speaking. Somebody may hear a sound, a song, you know, scriptures even. What is God saying? There are so many different ways that God can communicate with us. And we, especially in the current time we are in, need to be open.
Yes.
The Bible says in Hosea 4, verse 6, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." In Mark, it says, "Unto you is given to know the gifts," to know the mysteries, forgive me, "the mysteries of the kingdom." We're talking about being in the kingdom. There's a song that says, "Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost." That is the
Kingdom of God.
Kingdom of God. What did Jesus come to do? Bring the kingdom. In the kingdom is where we have the answers. In the kingdom, we have a king, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. We should be tuning our ear to hear what the Lord is saying to us.
And what the Lord is saying isn't just about our tomorrow.
No.
Because he is, because as you were saying, you know, this is, prophecy fundamentally is about speaking and conveying, communicating the heart and mind of God. And the heart and mind of God, I mean, you know, where is God? You know, God is the same yesterday, today, forever. Yeah. He doesn't just exist in our future.
Yes.
He exists in our past, he exists in our presence, exists in our future, which then, if we just look at that in simple terms, if that be the case, then some of the stuff he's saying to us isn't just about our tomorrow.
Absolutely not. He is interested in our past, you know, and in fact, you know, for many, sometimes we can get stuck in what happened when I was this, or when I was in that situation, or when it's happened to me, or what I experienced. And the point is, if you listen to somebody who's getting a prophetic word, there are certain ways sometimes, certain styles rather, I should say.
Yes.
And sometimes the person will allude to something that's happened in their past.
Yes.
And then once the person's has what I call, you know, has their attention, then you could see it in their face, you could see it within them. You have a witness in your spirit that they are now in the place to hear what happened then, and to understand that God was there all the time. Then God can then bring them forward into their future.
Too many of us are carrying the baggage of our past.
Yes.
And we want the liberty of the future. We want the liberty of the hope in God, the hope in Christ, the hope of the life that Christ has promised us.
Yep.
And we want that liberty. We want the freedom. We want to be able to move because we, you know, where the Spirit of the Lord is, the liberty. Lord, your Spirit is here. I want to be in liberty.
Mm-hmm.
But we do not recognize that many times we're still carrying burdens and bondage from our past.
Yes.
And I think just in what you're saying, the picture in my mind is someone who's shackled to the past, wants to run freely in the future, but the prophetic word, that heart and mind of God, needs to show them you are still tied.
Yes.
That chain needs to break.
Again, there's been so much emphasis placed on what we're not to do. What, you know, is, you know, I've heard this so many times, you know, when somebody gives you a word, it's got to confirm what you've already heard. That's actually incorrect.
Not necessarily. Yeah.
That's actually incorrect. Why is it incorrect?
Mm.
Because one, you're limiting God.
Mm.
And two, if you already know it, then just do it. But why is it incorrect? Because God may want to bring something to your attention that you never thought about, that you never considered.
Yeah.
That what he may say, may release to you, may be the actual key that unlocks the door.
Wow. Wow. You know, you talked about scripture and you've read from scripture already. And I'm sure there are probably theologians listening to the show right now thinking, oh, you know, right, I remember when I was at uni or whatever it was, right? There are prophets in the Bible. Okay?
Absolutely.
There are, you know, typically when you look at the canon of scripture, when you look at the books of the Bible, there are those we call the major prophets
and
the minor prophets, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there are the four major prophets who are
Isaiah,
Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel.
Yeah.
Those are the four major prophets. And then there's a whole heap of minor prophets, including people like Nahum, that many people haven't heard of.
Micah.
You know, Micah's not so bad, I think, you know, because that's a name. You know, people are called Micah. And, and Amos is, I mean, that name's kind of gone a little bit now. But, you know, Haggai and Nahum is like, who? You know, who's that?
Gosh.
Obadiah. Mm-hmm. Excuse me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but, right? And those are easy. You know, when we talk about the prophets in the Bible, you know, that's easy. They're books. These guys, there is a record of their writings, you know, that establishes what God has said through them, you know, in them, tra-la-la-la-la.
Mm-hmm.
And it's obvious, you know, the major prophets, the minor prophets, yay.
Mm-hmm.
But Moses was a prophet, wasn't he?
Listen, give me a high five right there. I was just going to say to you, and Moses.
Yeah.
Totally.
Now, there's no book of Moses. So why do we know? How do we, you know? Help us understand that.
So there's no book of Moses, but we know Moses did write.
Mm-hmm,
okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the first, I believe it's five books, right?
The first, yeah, the Torah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So think about Moses. Think about what we said earlier on. God wants to convey, God wants to share, God wants to speak to us. God said to Moses, in fact, God set up, God set it up for Moses to run from his past. And so when he's in, I forgot where he got to actually, but where he arrives with Jethro and his family, God sets it up so that he is able to communicate to Moses through the burning bush.
Yes.
Okay. He says to Moses, I have heard the cry of my people. I've heard, not Moses heard, God says, I have heard, and I'm sending you. Sending you to do what? To speak on my behalf. Being prophetic, one is about hearing what God says from his heart, his mind, and his will. And two is to convey what he's saying. It's very, very important. Moses Moses said, I can't speak. I can't do this, Lord. You find somebody else. And God says to him, what? You will be my mouthpiece. You will do it on my behalf.
Even people like, his name's Elijah.
Yes.
We recognize, Elijah was a prophet.
Yep.
There's no book of Elijah, is there?
Yep.
You know?
There's not.
But what made Elijah a prophet is, again, similar thing. Mm-hmm. He spoke the heart and mind of God.
Yeah.
You know, this is the stuff you're speaking. It's not just a case of, you know, just to be to clarify then, because we're saying, you know, speaking the heart and mind, speaking what God wants to say, but certainly what God wants to say is in his word.
Yes.
So is every preacher a prophet?
No.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Absolutely not. No.
Because why not?
No. Let me no.
So is the prophetic then by revelation of the Spirit?
First and foremost, let me again, scripture. Joel 2.
Good.
Okay. Joel 2:28. And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh.
Mm.
So your child, a young person, and I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, prophesy, that's dreaming, your young men shall see visions, that's prophetic, and also upon your servants and upon the handmaidens, in those days I will pour out of my Spirit. Okay.
That's everybody.
But the point is, this is what I want to say, and this is very crucial. And we are not licensing, we're not supporting saying anybody can just go and say whatever they please.
No,
I don't believe in that.
No.
I do strongly believe that according to Ephesians 4, God, there is a fivefold ministry.
Yes.
We understand it's apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists, and so forth. And it's key that we are teachable. It's important that we are accountable.
Because if I give a word, if you give a word,
you know, you have to be certain that word came from God.
Yes.
So therefore, it can't just be like, I feel like saying this to somebody. Let me go and say it. There is the importance of accountability. And also, speaking to each other in what? In love. Not just when I feel like saying it. I don't care, you know.
Blurt it out.
And even when you are, when you've gone through some level of training, through accountability, responsibility, you know, you will then learn. You may hear it said, or in, you know what, let me say this. Sometimes we kind of hear God speak to us how we speak. if you think
indeed
about it carefully,
yes,
you kind of hear God speak to you how he speaks. If you hear a different type, a different style, that's because God wants to get your attention.
Yes.
He's saying to you, hear me, I need to get your attention. Prophetic ministry, prophesying, the prophet, the role of the prophet, the office of the prophet, is all about encouraging, edifying, building, and pointing the hearer to God.
Back to God. To God's will.
To God.
Fundamentally to God, actually.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
If there's a prophetic word and it's to me, then something wrong with something. Please check that.
Very wrong.
It's very wrong. And there must be. I've gone back personally. I've gone back to where it says, the Bible says, out of the mouths of two and three witnesses.
Every word.
Every word. Why? Because I need to make sure that I'm not blown away by every word or what seems to be prophetic.
Gosh. I want to talk about, as you were speaking, and I think I did mention Elijah.
Yes.
Elijah, Elisha, there are lots and lots of people within. Nathan.
So wait,
mm-hmm.
What's key about Elijah and Elisha? What's key about Moses and Joshua?
Mm-hmm.
What's
mm-hmm.
key mm-hmm. about mm-hmm. Paul and Timothy?
Accountability.
Absolutely.
It's a relationship of accountability.
It's relationship.
Yeah, yeah. It's not just some, maverick lone ranger.
No.
You know, the prophetic gifting and the prophetic office
yeah.
isn't a lone ranger office.
Not at all.
And I think that's a really, really powerful point. I think that's really important. Because sometimes, particularly, in yeah. today's culture,
yeah.
there are a few people who are going around wearing, saying,
mm-hmm.
who are
yes,
claiming to be prophets. Whether or not they are, I cannot say that, but who say they are prophets and prophetic. But they're not accountable anywhere. They're not submitted anywhere. Mm-hmm. Nobody speaks into their lives, into their ministries. But thinking about something, there was something that Elijah said.
Mm-hmm.
This guy, he was, oh goodness me. I'm trying to remember the context.
Mm.
He was with Ahab,
okay,
the king.
He heard in the chamber, that one.
Mm. And he said to Ahab,
yes.
As surely as God lives, there will not be any rain for a number of years.
Yep.
And it's this phrase, he said, unless I say so.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yep.
Actually,
yep.
I think I have it open. Except by my word.
Mm-hmm.
I do. 1 Kings 17 and verse 1, Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word. I love the way the message puts it there. It says, not a drop of dew or rain unless I say mm-hmm. otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
What's that about?
Oh, dear. I remember I used to ponder on that scripture for some time. That is the office of the prophet. It's a whole different level.
Mm, mm.
And so that person, that individual, holds a different rank, holds a different authority and power to, as it were, to be able to activate, the elements, really.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
They are given that by God. It's not something that you can just lay hands on. Mm-hmm, it is mm-hmm. a God called, God initiated.
There's a particular anointing.
Absolutely.
To be able to prophesy on that kind of level.
On that level, yes.
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 I think it's one of the standout issues for Elijah.
Mm.
It's why he was, we've talked about him previously on this show.
Yeah.
It's one of the reasons he was a threat to Jezebel. You know, it was one of the reasons, this is a guy, Mount Carmel.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about that. You know, we saw his abilities, as it were, in God. Not about him. It's not, an X factor thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we saw the anointing in operation
mm-hmm.
Through Elijah's journey.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm glad you pointed that out. Yeah.
Mm. But what's key again, I think this needs to be looked at. The Old Testament prophet is different somewhat to the New Testament prophet.
Good.
Please let's clarify that, mm-hmm. Because mm-hmm. I often hear people speak about, I have an Elijah anointing, and they somewhat justifies sometimes their behavior.
Yeah.
Because we know Elijah seemed to be a man who wasn't very...
He was brash.
He was very brash.
There was not a lot of grace.
He didn't understand how to integrate with people. Yeah. And it wasn't very relational at all.
He was not relational.
He wasn't at all. Mm. So, he sort of had a moment of, temper tantrum when he was told to go and anoint,
mm-hmm.
Elijah in his, in his stead. And so, the New Testament prophet or prophetic person, it has to be founded on love. It must be founded on edifying. Those three things, edification, exaltation, and comfort, should be the basis. you know, it doesn't mean then you can say as you please because you are my brother or you are my sister. We are our brother's keeper. And it has to be, like I said before, you know, the prophetic or the person who dreams or has visions or whatever, they may have dreams of their community. They may be having dreams of the government. They may have dreams of nations, particular nations. And if that be the case, that needs to be looked into and understood. What is God saying? What is God in trying to convey to that individual?
If you're just joining us, if you've been listening, you know, we want to encourage you to join in on the show, joining in this conversation. Have you got a question? Have you got a concern? Have you got experience you'd like to share? Have you got a comment you'd like to make? Tap on the button in the PHBC Radio app that says contact the studio and send that in to us. We'd love to hear from you, love to hear your experience of the prophetic. Maybe you're a prophet or a prophetess and you think, you know, or you have something, a different alternative to what we're saying or something that we'll add to. We'd love to hear from you as well. Alternatively, you can use the social media handles at PHBC London to contact us here in the studio as we continue to discuss the issue of prophets, prophetic prophecy, and prophesying.
Again, going back to the fivefold ministries in Ephesians chapter 2, it says that the church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself being the corner, the head cornerstone. Why is that important? Because there is unity. There must be a togetherness. There must be a one accord. There must be a working together. It can't be, you know, well, I have this gift, and so my gift is superior to your gift, and so therefore I'm not going to submit to your gift. I'm not going to submit to you, you know. Or, you know, I find it interesting whereby we will come to church. I'm going there. We come to church and we won't give, we won't surrender, we won't yield, we won't submit, we won't help, we won't serve, and we complain. But we go to work and we do what we do at work.
We wouldn't dare.
It is so odd. And it's yet just wrong. Still, you can be, the workplace is your marketplace ministry. Your church is your family. So I don't quite understand, you know, and, you know, put my own hand up here. This is before I even understood certain things. But again, knowing which one, if at all, fits you, okay, you may not be a part of the fivefold ministry. Maybe you are part of the fivefold ministry. If you are, what parts? How do you function? How do you help to bring about the kingdom of God? The apostle is a key foundation to the church, a church, because the apostle helps to lay a strong foundation. The prophet isn't one who should come in and just blurt out whatever. He or she has got to work with that apostle and the pastor. And the rest of the ministries, you know, fall into place. But again, you know, they are. Jesus gave those gifts.
Yeah,
he gave
those
gifts.
They exist for a reason.
And he gave them for the work of the ministry to build up, to equip, to train the congregation.
I want to read something to you, and get your input on this. You have a lot of experience with the prophetic. It's one of your key giftings in ministry. Paul was writing to the people in Corinth, and he said these words, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He says, to one is given, he's talking about the various, you know, the spiritual giftings as God has given them. He says, to one is given through the Holy Spirit the power to speak the message of wisdom, to another the power to express the word of knowledge and understanding according to the same Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:8. To one there is given through the Spirit the message, a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit. It's what the King James refers to as the word of knowledge.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, what is the distinction? What is the difference between a prophetic word and a word of knowledge? Are they the same thing? Is there a difference? Is it slight difference, major difference, or is it just one and the same thing? Every prophecy is a word of knowledge, and every, you know, or every word, you know, help us understand that.
A word of knowledge, in the most simplest way of putting it. So you can be talking to somebody and the Holy Spirit just drops something relating to that person, individual.
Something that's happened to
that's
them.
That's happened to yeah, them, or, they're yeah, experiencing, or, the, yes, or yes. you know, and that is a word of knowledge.
Yeah.
They would have not have known that unless it had been revealed.
Yes.
Okay. That's the most simplest way I can put it. I'm trying to think of one personally. So
for yeah. example, I could come up to you and say to you, Maxine, you know, you and I are talking, or you come for prayer, or we're talking about some stuff, and I say, Maxine, I just really want to talk to you about you know, what happened to you yesterday.
Yes.
I don't know where it was you went yesterday, but you found yourself stuck
yeah.
somewhere, and the Lord wants to let you know that it's going to be okay. You know, be anxious for nothing concerning yes. what happened yesterday, you know, but he has this under control.
Absolutely.
Release it to him.
Yes.
And at that point you go, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
I had a really important appointment and I was stuck in traffic. You know, yeah. there was a car that had broken down and there'd been an accident, and I was really feeling a lot of compassion for the people in the accident, but it was affecting me. And I know I haven't heard from the people, you know.
That is certainly very often. A word of knowledge can relate to something where God wants to bring about a healing.
Mm.
He wants to bring about an understanding, an insight. It's really an insight,
as to
really,
what's happened.
As to what's happened.
Mm.
So that person can receive comfort and obviously can move forward. I was trying to think about, you know, one incident in particular. I remember we went to preach at this ministry some years ago, and the preacher preached, and we began to pray for people who came to the altar. And as I stood in front of this lady, I heard, so what is your relationship like with your mother in Jamaica? Now, we're in England.
Wow.
And it had nothing to do
with that particular context.
Nothing to do with what we had, what was preached, basically speaking, nothing. And the person looked quite, you know, complex. I said, why are you asking me this question? And I said to her, in the most nicest way, again, tone is very important. And I said, you know, again, I just, you know, this is what I'm hearing. So, you know, how is that going? And she said, we don't speak. We haven't spoken to my mother, blah, 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 blah. And I said, okay, the Lord is saying, I believe the Lord is saying. I didn't say the Lord is saying. I said, I believe. Because you can't just push some words on people. Yeah?
Yes.
Sometimes you can, sometimes you can't.
Yes.
But, you know, in that context, no. She clearly had something going on with her mother that needed to be reconciled.
Yes.
And so I said, okay, I believe the Lord is saying, if you will do this, 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 then he will bring about peace. Another instance, ministering somewhere, and at the height of the anointing, I just felt the atmosphere stop, just cease. And I literally heard, when it came out of my mouth, you know, there's somebody here who has something very important that they need God to deal with. You have some papers, you need to bring those papers. The person came with the papers. Everyone stood still. And she came with her papers. And there are some things that a prophetic person will do that might seem strange. Is they may act out. The Jeremiah was one who acted out the word very often. So was Ezekiel.
Yes.
Very often.
Yes.
There was something that we may do that seemed a bit odd, you know. And in this case, she gave me the documents. And I just took off my shoes, put documents on the floor, and began to gently do a little sort of dance on the top of the documents. I didn't know what was in the documentation. All I knew was to say to her a few things, which, you know, which I won't, you know, say here. And sometime later, she came back to me and said to me, because of what you did, because of what you prayed, because of what you said, what they were going to do didn't happen. God turned it around. Praise
wow.
God. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah to Jesus.
There's a question here I'd like to bring to you. We've talked about word of knowledge. We've talked about visions. We've talked about dreams.
Yes.
On the subject of dreams and dreams, obviously not every dream is prophetic.
No.
You know, You know, you go and watch James Bond and then you have a dream that people are shooting at you. Listen. No. It was, you were just reliving the James Bond movie. Yeah, calm down.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if what happens in a scenario such as this,
mm-hmm.
you have a dream about somebody that relates to somebody,
mm-hmm.
not so much about, but yep. it relates to somebody else and you know who it relates to.
Yeah.
And in that dream, you receive some sort of, you sense some sort of warning
mm-hmm.
for this person. It's mm-hmm. a warning. There's yep. a
mm-hmm.
watch yourself
mm-hmm.
Scenario. What do you do? Do you just go and tell the person? Do you take it to somebody else for interpretation? You know, what's the way forward there?
So the first thing you do is pray. If you, as you said, the dream, you know, signifies a warning to that individual.
Mm.
The first thing, please don't call them straight away, please. Mm.
That's because, not the first protocol. No, it's not,
because our words are spirit
yeah.
and they are life.
Yes.
And so pray to stop it, pray to hinder it, pray, cancel it in the name of Jesus, you know, you can do that, you know, and then you say, Lord, what should I do with this dream? You know, God may say to you, call the person, but please pray first. And also think about how you're going to relay that dream to the individual. You know, I think tone is so important and relationship is so important. And again, yes, in some cases, yes, you should go and call, you know, somebody in leadership.
Mm-hmm.
I have people do that with
to
me.
To submit it to.
Yeah. Mm. They text me, then, you know, they send it across. But, to submit it and to ask for counsel, because they may say, don't share that word.
Yeah.
It's important.
I think that's really, thank you so much. I think that that's really wonderful. And to the person who submitted that question, very, very grateful for you.
Mm.
Thank you for sending that question.
Mm.
You know, I think it's really important. As you're listening, there may be other things, there may be other questions that you have. Please do keep them coming. Really appreciate the questions because it helps us here.
You know, when it comes to having visions, very often, and dreams too, very often, you know, people, I hear people speaking about, you know, they were in spiritual warfare.
Mm.
They were engaged in spiritual warfare, you know, in a dream, or they sensed or they perceived, you know, something about to happen, and they, you know, went into spiritual warfare. You know, the prophetic is strongly linked to prayer.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
prayer
mm-hmm.
is important
mm-hmm.
because prayer, as we spoke about, I think, you know, in our early programs, is about communicating with God yes. and listening and so forth. So, you know, there are many people who dream a lot. I'm aware of that. And as it says in Joel 2, God is pouring out of his spirit. Write those dreams down. Write down the date. Write down the time. Same with visions. Same with words. You know, you may even hear a song. If you hear a song, listen to the song and listen to the words, because God is speaking through that.
I think it's really important. One of the, I have a practice, I it was taught to me. In 1989, I received a prophetic word. It was a prophetic declaration about who, you know, I was to become, what God was to do. So this was in the future tense in many respects. Not completely, not all of it was mm-hmm. in the future, but a lot of it, significant proportions, were in sort of alluding to mm-hmm. the future.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember where I was. I used to sing with a worship group then, and it was our final, I was leaving the group, and it was our final rehearsal. And we just had this time, and the Holy Spirit just came, and it just, you know, he jumped in the place and he was doing what he needed to do. And from one of them was just like, you know, I've got a word for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I just stood there listening intently. But I give God thanks. Amen. Because
mm-hmm.
this was in March 1989. I still have that word today
mm-hmm.
only because somebody else actually took a pen and paper and wrote down mm-hmm. what was said.
Yeah.
And that person wrote it down and gave me that piece of paper so I could look at it and you know, revisit that mm-hmm. Before the Lord. And so one of the things that I have developed, a habit I have developed, is in, because, you know, we're human.
Yeah.
And we will forget. Yes. Yeah. You write it down, mm-hmm. but you don't even need to write it down.
You can, you
know,
it.
Just grab your, pull out your phone, hit record.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this day and age, the technology is there.
Yeah.
And I think that's really, really, really important. Mm-hmm. And it goes back to what you were saying about keeping a record of the day, the date, yeah. what happened, yeah. etc. I think that's really, really important.
And also as well, you know, because we're growing, we're going from glory to glory. We are maturing. You know, Paul said, when I was a child, I spoke like a child. But when I became an adult, I put away childish things. There are sometimes, in many of our cases, to be honest with you, there will be things that God has spoken to us that we are completely unaware of. Completely. And yet God is saying that to us. Why? Because his word does not return to him void.
Hmm.
And he needs us to grow. When you become, when you grow, when you mature in the things of God, in Christ, he then can trust you with the more. Hence why he says, do not despise small beginnings. So don't think that a word will never come to pass. Sometimes we're actually taught to war over those words. And what does that mean? In the realm of the spirit. It's not in the natural, but in the spirit realm, that we have to say, Lord, you said in your word, and I believe you at your word.
And that's so important, because a wonderful link to the scripture that came to my mind in 1 Timothy 1:17-19. It says, now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Timothy, my son, I'm giving you this command in keeping with the prophecies once made about you.
Yes.
So that by recalling them, you may fight the battle well. You know, it's this principle of warring over prophecy.
Mm.
You know, it says, holding on to a faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected, and so have suffered shipwreck with regard to faith. But it's that phrase, giving the command in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by recalling them, you may fight the battle well.
Yeah.
You know, the when we remember what God has said,
yes.
when those records, whether it be written, recorded, whatever it may be, brings God's word to our mind, it strengthens us.
Absolutely.
And it strengthens us, you know, and it's the, because it's a two-way street. You make sure you pay the price to remember, and in so doing, you are better able to pay the price for who you should be.
Amen.
Wow. What a show.
Fantastic.
Well, thank you. We want to say thank you for all of you who've been listening on today's show. As you know, we've been talking about prophecy. It is just an absolute joy to have you with us. Next time on the show, we are going to have a guest who will be here with us talking about mental health.
Yep.
She is a mental health and well-being practitioner, and she will be answering your questions. So do please join us. I'm sure we'll revisit prophecy again.
Oh, yes, definitely.
We don't do these as one-offs.
Mm.
But we want to say thank you so much for joining us. And until next time, God bless you. And thank you for being with us on
Being Mindful.